From Georgia, she now lives in Maine. She's a former attorney and now runs an ice cream shop in Portland, Maine called Captain Sam's.
Hello.
Hey. How are y'all? How are you?
Good, Karen. So our first question for you is, one thing that we talked about when we were planning this show is the experiences of women in the comedy business. What has your experience been being a woman in comedy?
Well, in stand-up comedy, there are probably a lot more men in the business end of it, in the actual show business part of it. My experience has been positive, though. I have not found personally any sort of bad behavior, you know, rendered my way. But I'm also a mother, and I don't put up with a lot of bad behavior. So I may not be the actual person that people would go after. I know that it exists. I know that stand-up comedy is, for the most part, a good old boys club still. But, you know, I've had a positive experience.
Now, Karen, you mentioned you're a mother. How do you balance the responsibilities of being a mother and a comedian?
Well, my children are home with my husband right now eating a really delicious dinner of chicken nuggets and tater tots. And no one is happy. the balancing is at this job is like any other woman having a really fun full-time job. You know, you do what you got to do. As a mom, I do what I have to do to make sure everybody's happy. And, you know, sometimes that means people eat tater tots for dinner, but everybody wins in the end. If mom is happy, everybody's happy. That's the rule.
So do you have any inspiration or your favorite comedians?
You know, I do tend to sort of gravitate toward, you know, female comics. Kathleen Madigan is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. She's really smart. I do like Ellen DeGeneres. I've followed her from the beginning of her career before she was doing talk shows. I like Jim Gaffigan. I like people who work relatively clean but really smart. I'm liking Brian Regan these days because he has a lot of really sort of fun family humor. But as long as it's smart, I tend to gravitate towards it.
Now, do any of these comedians influence any of your shows, any of your material?
No, I appreciate what they do. I try not to, you know, I write all my own material and try not to let anybody else's material sort of filter through me. And so I actually don't watch comedy for that reason. I just watch it to enjoy it and appreciate the art of what they do.
Yeah. So the title of our show tonight is The Culture of Humor. What would you say that means to you?
the culture or lack thereof. Well, I tend to think that comedy is like art, and it is part of our culture, and therefore it is very subjective. And something that I find funny, you may not funny. It may not find funny, or you may not find funny. It's definitely a subjective thing, and it's very much like art in that respect, that everybody has an opinion, and you should respect everybody's opinion, even though you may not appreciate what the other person likes.
So, I mean, kind of going along with that, have you ever had a joke that you thought would go really well and it just fell completely flat?
Oh, yes. I mean, I can't tell you specifically which one it is right now, but we all remember the things that sort of land with a big thud on the ground. You remember those more than you remember the ones that are really great.
Right. And so, now, how do you test those? Do you talk to your family?
No.
Or do you just do it? It's a hit or a miss. And then, I guess.
No. Since most of my material is about my family, and tend to not run it by them, and I don't run things by friends. I run it by people that are my demographic, which would be an audience of people that are kind of my age group. So I don't run things by my family at all, particularly my husband.
And also in studio, we have Tim Farrell.
Yep, he's my dad and the founder. Would you say you're the founder of the Comedy Workshop?
The founder of the Comedy Workshop?
Oh, yes, that's what it's called.
Yes.
He teaches comedy workshops in stand-up and improv for adults and teens, and he formerly was his own stand-up comedian and worked with a traveling improv company, Laughing Stock.
And I'll jump in and say that Tim was my first introduction to comedy. He was my first teacher. So
it's actually really funny because when we were talking to, you know, possible guests for the show, most of the people we talked to said they had a connection to Tim Farrell.
Yeah.
So they all kind of...
Well, it is Portland, Maine, where it's half a degree of separation.
I guess so, yeah. Now, could you tell us a little bit about your comedy workshop, what you do?
In a nutshell, it's a 7-week workshop. We meet usually once a week, usually on a Monday for 3 hours. And it's really a process of getting everyone in that group, and it tends to be from somewhere from 10 to 15 people in a workshop. the goal of the workshop is for them to craft and then perform 5 minutes of stand-up material. Now, 5 minutes in real life probably doesn't seem like very much, but 5 minutes on stage, and Karen will attest to this, 5 minutes is a long time.
Yes.
And you can get a lot done in 5 minutes, or you can crash and burn.
You can be on fire for the entire 5 minutes.
It's really about the first half of the workshop is really about generating content, and they generate a lot of it. And then we whittle that down to find that 5 minutes that really works for them. And then we have a graduation show, and that's normally for an invited audience of friends and family. And that goes back to a question you asked, Karen. Friends and family are actually a very difficult audience. They have they have expectations. If you just brought strangers in off the street, I think they would be thoroughly entertained. But when you suddenly invite your friends and family, there's a lot of pressure there. They've been waiting for 7 weeks. They've been instructed by me and to not share it with their family for a lot of reasons. But there's a lot of pressure. It's a real show. It really is. When they get to graduation time. It sounds a little corny, graduation show, but it's as close as you're going to get to the real thing if you just want to get a taste of stand-up.
And your students must be really proud, too, showing off what they've been working on for 7 weeks.
It always works out really well.
Great. And now, this next question is for the both of you. And do either of you make a living off of comedy, or do you have other jobs along with it?
I've somehow managed to make a living in, if you want to call this, show business for quite a while. But it's, you're kind of piecing things together. And I think once I moved to Maine, especially, because I had a career in New York, and that's before I was married and Gabby was in my life also. But here in Portland, it's a little different. I have to do a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but I haven't had to climb a roof and pound nails into shingle yet. So I cobble it together. And I think Karen, too, on some level.
It's very, very, very similar in the fact that we sort of do a lot of things in order to continue the career with comedy. I mean, we opened an ice cream store last summer because in order to be a full-time professional comedian, I would be on the road away from my kids every weekend or a lot. And I like my kids. I don't want to be gone from them. So in order to continue as a professional comedian, I opened a local business that supplements my income until the time comes that I want to hit the road full time, which hasn't been yet. I enjoy being around my kids.
Cool. Here's one we have. When you guys were younger, how was comedy different? How has it changed over time?
Well, you want me to take a crack at this, Karen?
Back in the Stone Age.
Yeah. I get this question comes up a lot, and I actually think the more that people think it changes, the more it actually stays the same. There's always been sort of an alternative scene to the whatever you want to call the sort of the mass audience. But even when I was a young person, not even just thinking about wanting to be a comic, there were the sort of traditional comics, and there were the more edgy comics. And I think, at the end of the day, it's, what's funny?
Yeah.
And has it changed? No, I think perhaps the bar gets lowered. I think what was shocking in 1973 when I was a high schooler in my room playing George Carlin, seems sort of naive now.
Right.
And I think that idea of how do I shock an audience, that it just that bar goes lower and lower. Yeah.
And also, I guess as you grow older, you're appealing to more or other types of comedy appeal to you, like different TV shows that might be more innocent as a child versus more adult rated humor as you're older. And so I also want to take this time to tell our guests that this is a call-in show, so if you want to call in with any jokes or any opinions, call at 780-4909. Again, that's 780-4909.
And tonight is our open house, so we're still down here at 92 Bedford Street if you want to check us out. There's probably still some pizza in the lobby. I think they're still giving tours and watching us through the windows. So.
And also, if you couldn't make it tonight, we do have a brand new blog. It's bluntradio.org. You're welcome to listen to the show anytime you want. And also, come back May 20. When is our next meeting, Gabby?
22nd.
22nd, May 22nd.
And sounds good.
21st.
21st. It's
I lied
the 21st.
To everyone.
All right. Now, moving on. So,
So we know you're part of the, Karen, you do funniest moms, or you are the funniest mom, or what is that situation?
I started, when I started doing comedy right after our graduation class with Tim, was when I was in Nick at Night's search for the funniest mom in America. So that's kind of how I started. Mm-hmm. We sent a tape in. I think it was my graduation show tape, and they selected. We went through this round of auditions. So that's kind of how I started. So people, and I'm called Maine's Funniest Mom, but there wasn't a contest, despite what people think. There was never like a pageant. So my humor and most of my writing when I first started was about motherhood, because I was in the middle of babies at the time. So now my humor is now more about marriage and having middle schoolers and other things. So it's not just all diapers and pacifiers anymore. Thank God.
Now, has that title helped you build your reputation as a comedian?
Yeah, it, particularly around here. I mean, it's something that's catchy. It's kind of funny, you know, and people will come up to me, even in the ice cream store, say, hey, oh, you're the funny mom. You know, they don't necessarily know my name, but they know I'm the funny mom, which is totally fine with me. It's totally fine.
Well, am I on? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I mean, Karen also has a reputation of also being really easy to work with. And a terrific, really funny person, and also can sort of wear a lot of hats. She can go into a corporate setting and deliver a corporate clean set. She can go to a club and not necessarily down and dirty, but she can keep up. She can swear. So her reputation precedes her.
Thank you.
That's awesome. So since you are so successful and Maine's funniest mom, do you have any advice for young aspiring comedians?
My advice is to write and to find somebody like Tim Farrell who can teach you how to write. I think that's what I loved most about working with Tim, was that what he taught us was how to craft a set. You know, we started out with that class, it's just 5 minutes, but if you learn to write 5 minutes, then you can learn to write 10 minutes and 15 minutes, and then gradually you have eventually an hour long set. So my advice to aspiring comics is to read a lot and to write a lot and to not necessarily watch other comics, to be yourself. I think that's the biggest advice I have, is be who you are. Don't try to be somebody else, because the audience knows when you're trying to pretend to be somebody else.
Now, Karen, what is your process when you're coming up with new material? Do you have any special techniques?
I don't generally sit down at my computer and say, I'm going to write a joke now. You know, I am so busy throughout the day between delivering kids or doing what I'm doing. Something will happen. I'll see something funny and I'll either write it down or make myself a mental note. I'd like to write about that later. I'm Southern, so I'm more of a storyteller. So my jokes aren't one-liners. They're kind of a story with some jokes put in there. So it's my process to try to remember the funny thing that happened yesterday, so I can write about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So, are some of the tips that Karen told us the same ones that you give to your students during your workshop, or do you have other ones?
Yes. And yes, and this idea of writing, number one, it's as Karen said, it is a discipline, and there are some working comics out there that actually sit down and go, I write from noon to two. But for the most part, your job is 24 hours a day. You have a notebook with you or some sort of recording device. I think every smartphone now can record. So you can't write in a vacuum. Things happen during the course of the day. The minutiae of the day then becomes your material. And the idea is to capture it on a napkin or in your notebook or on a recording device of some kind. And then you just collect that, and then you start to sort of flesh that material out. So.
Now, Karen, I think now you do have to get out of here pretty quickly, but we will play a piece by one of our Blunt members, Olivia Bradstreet.
Yeah.
And it's about offensive humor.
Yeah, it's Olivia Bradstreet's feature. It's about offensive humor and why it's not a joke and it's just offensive. It doesn't have a title right now. The working title is Just a Joke, but actually a really terrible one, and you hurt everyone's feelings, you should leave.
That's a pretty good title, I think.
So we're going to play that.
Let's listen to it.
Bad relationships.
So that listeners are aware, this piece will be referring and discussing sexual violence. I was just joking. Don't be so serious. You hear this response when you point out the impolite qualities of your family member's one-liner. It's typed hundreds of times online, responding to your criticism of an offensive skit. And perhaps, as a disapproving expression appears on your friend's face, you hear that yourself utter the widely popular, "It's just a joke." But it's not just a joke, not really. The summer of 2012, when a Comedy Central host, Daniel Tosh, made a so-called joke about rape, asserting that it wasn't such a big deal and in fact funny, an audience member stood up to him, saying that rape jokes are never funny. He responded to this heckling by suggesting if the audience member was suddenly sexually assaulted, it would be funny. Later, when this story went viral online, there was two sides. One side thought it wasn't such a big deal, just take a joke, they wrote, while the other side reminded us that every 2 minutes someone in the U.S. is sexually assaulted, 46 out of every 100 rape crimes is reported, and only 3% of those 100 rapists will serve jail time. On Oscar night, 2013, viewed by over 40 million people, Seth MacFarlane, comedian and host, took the stage singing a song titled We Saw Your Boobs, where he referenced scenes from movies where we saw actresses topless. One side of the viewership pointed out that four of those scenes were of sexual assault and that this mocking song perpetuates the cultural ownership and viewer domination of women's bodies. Another side of the viewership said, "Don't be so serious." What we say, how we act, what jokes we tell, reflect our culture and attitudes towards one another. In a country where sexual assault is underreported but committed frequently, why make light of it? We laugh about something that's so common and so hurtful. You could be triggering the people around you and further perpetuating the idea that these things are so okay, we can just joke about it. For Blunt Youth Radio, this is Olivia Bradstreet.
Wow, what a great piece, right?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. So Karen Morgan has left us to go close up Captain Sam's. Again,
she's... beloved ice cream store, but we want to thank her very dearly, and...
She's Maine's funniest mom.
She is. She was...
Unofficially.
It was great to talk to her. Yes.
And now we're joined by Justin Fortin, who is a Blunt member from Gray, New Gloucester, and he actually took Tim Farrell's stand-up workshop. And we're going to talk about Olivia's piece.
All right. Now, before we start, do you guys have any feedback? Any?
Well,
what did you think?
This is really this is a hot topic right now. There's no doubt about it, and I can separate the two examples. The first one is Tosh, and that it took place in a comedy club, and it wasn't that long ago, where a comic going into a comedy club was really only held accountable by the audience and the management of the club. But that night, and it happens a lot now, regardless of how you feel, how it unfolded and got out into the world is the part that I have a problem with, which is a comic isn't allowed to go into a comedy club anymore and work out material and not have it recorded and broadcast and then have the audience reaction broadcast to the entire world within 15 minutes. Whereas with Seth MacFarlane, that's broadcast TV. That's your kids and your family watching the Oscars. And maybe there's a stronger argument for that. That's broadcast TV. But this idea of a comedian in a comedy club where people have paid a cover charge and a two-drink minimum, and suddenly he has to defend himself about something he did in a place that's really private in a way. So. I don't want to go any farther because it's just really so tricky to talk
right.
about.
And I guess the big question is where to draw the line. I mean, that type of humor is definitely doesn't have to be necessary. It's not funny, and a lot of people take it to offense. But is there a place for humor like that, but it's a little dumbed down? What do you think, Gabby?
I don't know. What I would say, I personally think that it's not okay, and that. In the same way that Seth MacFarlane knew that all of the world was listening to him sing that song, I think that Daniel Tosh knows that the internet is there and that someone's probably recording it with their cell phone. So no matter where you are, unless someone's checking at the door to make sure no one is going to record anything, it's going to get out there. And I think if it offended just one person in the audience, I mean, they can tell their friends.
Right, and even the media will definitely blow it up over a matter of hours or days, and just as
I think that if someone made a joke like that, I think they deserve to be, for everyone to know that that's the kind of person that they are.
And the fact that she got up and left was definitely, you know, it was a strong message, I think, that for him and for his audience, too. So.
And again, I'm not taking sides in this. I'm just saying that on any given night in any comedy club, someone is saying, I don't like that, and getting up and leaving. And not necessarily something as severe as this topic that Tosh chose to dive into. Again, comedy is very subjective, so. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any opinions, Justin?
Yeah, well, I know when I was working with them, Tim, in our workshop, that was one of the things we worked on, was how to not offend people in our bits. And one of the stories I had was actually pretty offensive to certain people. But anyway, as Tim talked to me, he's like, you can't really do that because you'll lose audience members and stuff. I was like, oh, so I kind of edited it, and it went a little bit better.
That's a workshop where Justin was. That's the great thing about a workshop, which is, you know, you have an opportunity to work all that stuff out. And then by the time it gets to show, the audience doesn't get a memo on the arduous journey that Justin took for 7 weeks in the workshop, or that Tim said maybe perhaps that is maybe a little too much, or maybe that might be offensive. The audience just shows up and Justin delivers the goods. So that's the. You know, the idea of a workshop where you can work all those issues out. I think the bit that Justin is talking about, number one, he was the youngest person in the workshop. And he gets a lot of accolades for that. But also, there's certain things that, you know, I think an audience will go, well, that might be, that shouldn't be coming out of a, I don't know, were you 15 at the time, Justin?
Well, 17.
17. The audience perceived him as the youngest, like the kid in the workshop. So we were just trying to protect his character on stage, really.
Now, Justin, you guys were talking about the workshop. Tell me your experience and how has that improved your comedy endeavors as of today?
And what was it like to be the youngest person?
Well, when I first wanted to do it, I was only supposed to be in a group full of kids my age. But because of how close I was to 18 in the adult class, my mom was like, you should go to the adult class. And I said, Tim, you know what, I'll try the adult class to see if I'm any good at it. And I was actually really surprised how funny adults can be. They're like kids. It's hilarious. But, I guess it was a really fun time. I learned that
we were talking earlier with Karen and Tim about failed jokes and how they kind of put those out there and how they, you know, attempted those. Did you feel like you had any times where you would have had laughs, where you didn't?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I put in a few jokes in my last bit. I thought it was going to be pretty funny, but it wasn't at all. I just fill in the blanks with narcissistic comments to myself, which for some reason made everybody laugh.
Now, Tim, you had a pretty funny reaction to that. Do you have anything to say?
Well, Justin had a great showcase that night, but there was a moment in his set when he was on stage, and I'm not going to forget it because it was really a really terrifically honest moment. And really what happened is he had a little bit of a brain bubble and he kind of lost his place. And after holding the stage for a couple of seconds of silence, he finally just said, I'm lost. And the audience gave him like this giant round of applause, and it got him right back on track. But I think what the audience was saying was that he owned up to, like, he just owned up to what was happening in the moment, and the way he said it actually was, it kind of broke the fourth wall for the audience, and they really did cheer when he said he just owned up to, I just had a little sort of brain bubble that I need to just take a second and own up to that. And it was a pivotal moment in his set, actually. So,
Is there any part of your set that you remember, Justin, that you could do for us right now, or is that too much on the spot?
Well, one thing that I thought was pretty funny was I was talking about how a lot of kids nowadays have those hats on that like button up in the back, the snapback hats. I thought they should all get Patriots hats like everybody else who doesn't watch football. Was a pretty funny bit because I know a lot of people who wear all these kinds of team colors and they don't know a thing about the team at all. And they're like, yeah, go, go, Foreigners or whatever the team is, and they've never seen a game before in their entire life.
Now, I also wanted to let our listeners know that this is our open house. So if you couldn't stop by today and you're really interested and want to know what Blunt does and you want to check it out, come by to our planning meeting May 21st. May 21st. And also check our website, bluntradio.org. And
if you'd like to call in.
Definitely, yeah.
780-4909.
Again, that's 780-4909.
We'd love to talk to you.
Definitely. Tell us any jokes. Do you have any opinions on what we're talking about? Give us a call. Now, but we're about to wrap up pretty soon for the break. But, Justin, now when you were performing, I don't know, how was it different than you thought it was going to be, writing your material and also performing it?
Well, I prepared myself pretty well for the whole set. Like, I recorded on my iPod, fell asleep to it, so I thought about it subconsciously. But when I got up on stage, I saw all those faces, even if the room was dark. I was like, wow, this is going to be quite the daring feat of mine. So I went pretty good for the first few minutes of my set. I was able to remember my lines. I probably should have acted them out a little bit more. They probably would have been more funny, but it went all right. And then my act got really good when I forgot my lines and had to get in my paper. I think everybody thought it was part of the act, and they just all started laughing
about
it.
That's funny. You'll never know when the audience will react. And
yeah, so does the audience, how much does the audience, would you say, affect the success of a joke or a show?
That's the sort of tightrope walking part of the business, which is you're really in the hands of the audience, and there's a lot of tricks in stand-up, like for Justin, for example, or Karen. It's that your set is broken down into three components. You want to open, and then your middle, and your close. And your opening is everything. If you can win them over with your opener, you get your ticket stamped. You're validated. The audience relaxes because they want you to do well. No audience comes in wanting anyone to do bad. It just doesn't work that way. But your job is really to win that audience over as quickly as possible, get that first laugh, and then the audience relax, and then you relax.
And every audience is different, too. I mean, you'll get different reactions from different jokes that you wouldn't get from another audience. So that's also a thing with live comedy, I think. It's always a different experience.
Oh yeah. Yes. Most definitely.
Now, we have to wrap up soon for break, but I want to thank Tim Farrell and Justin Foran for coming on to the show.
Yes, thanks, guys.
Great, thank you.
Well, thank you very much. You guys are terrific. Good job.
Oh,
very good.
Yeah.
It's great talking to you, and now we'll be on break, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Your mom's is so poor, she went to McDonald's and put a shake on layaway.
Oh. That's the right thing. Is your mother so old, she knew Central Park when it's just a plant?
Your mom's hair so nappy, she gotta take painkillers to comb my hair.
To date, but a year to make love, she wanted you to wait. Let me tell you a story of my situation. I was talking to this girl from the U.S. nation. The way that I met her was on tour at a concert. She had long hair and a short miniskirt. I just got on stage dripping, pouring with sweat. I was walking through the crowd, and guess who I met? I whispered in her ear, come to the picture booth so I can ask you some questions to see if you're 100 proof. I asked her name, she said blah, blah, blah. She had 9-10 pants and a very big bra. I took a couple of flicks and she was enthused. I said, how do you like the show? She said I was very amused. I started throwing bass, she started throwing back mid-range. But when I sprung the question, she acted kind of strange. Then when I asked, do you have a man? She tried to pretend. She said, no, I don't. I only have a friend. Come on, I'm not even going for it. It's what I'm going to say.
You got what I need. But you say he just a friend. And you say he just a friend. Oh, baby, you got what I need. But you say he just a friend. But you say he just a friend. Oh, baby, you got what I need. But you say he just a friend. But you say he's just a friend.
So I took Blah Blah's word for it. This time I thought just having a friend couldn't be no crime, cause I have friends and that's a fact, like Agnes, Agatha, Jermaine and Jack.
Forget about that, let's go into the story about our girl named blah 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 that adore me. So we started talking, getting familiar, spending a lot of time so we can build a relationship or some understanding how it's gonna be in the future we was planning. Everything sounded so dandy and sweet, I had no idea I was in for a treat. After this was established, everything was cool. The tour was over and she went back to school. I called every day to see how she was doing. Every time that I called her, it seemed something was brewing. I called her room, a guy picked up, and then I called her again. I said, yo, who is that? Oh, he's just a friend. To see my girl that was so exquisite. It was a school day, I know she was there, the first semester of the school year. I went to a gate to ask where was a dorm. This guy made me fill out a visitor's form. He told me where it was and I was on my way to see my baby doll. I was happy to say I arrived in front of the dormitory. Yo, could you tell me where is door 3? They showed me where it was for the moment. I didn't know I was in for such an event, so I came to a room and opened the door. Oh snap, guess what I saw? I felt a tongue kissing my girl in the mouth. I was so in shock, my heart went down south. So please listen to the message that I sent. Don't ever talk to a girl who says she just has a friend. Has a friend. Has a friend. Has a friend. Has a friend.
And then just people want to tell jokes and stuff. We have a few here. If you want to, you know.
Oh, yeah, we're
going
to ask you. Hi, and we're back.
We're back. And so tonight is the culture of humor. My name is Trenton Johnson.
And I'm Gabby Farrell.
And tonight is also our open house.
We're here at 92 Bedford Street. You can come and check us out, learn to make radio, watch us through the windows in the hallway.
Come see what we do. We're still here. We'll be here until 8:30 tonight. And if you can't make it, you can also... stop by for our planning meeting May 21st.
Also at 92 Bedford Street.
Also, and all this information will be our new website at bluntradio.org.
And this is a call-in show. Our number is 780-4909. That's 780-4909. So call in and tell us your favorite joke. We love jokes.
We really love jokes. And today, right now in our second half, we have Will Green. He's an improvisational comedian and Portland resident and co-founder of the Portland Comedy Co-op. Hi, Will Green. How are you?
I'm good. Nice to meet you guys.
Great. Nice to meet you.
So, can you tell us what the Portland Comedy Co-op is and what you guys do?
Yeah, it's sort of a loose conglomeration of six comics. It kind of came out of the failed attempt at an open mic in South Portland that all six of us went to regularly and all the locals did not enjoy. And from there we realized that we enjoyed doing comedy together and kind of wanted to try and do some more projects together.
Now, how does a comedy cooperation differ from any other venue? Or do you guys host other comedians or is it just you?
Yeah, no, we kind of collaborate on an open mic on Sundays. At Mama's Crowbar, we collaborate on a sort of a monthly showcase at Coffee by Design on India Street. Mm-hmm. And then we're kind of trying to get like book shows under the Comedy Co-op moniker out and about in other places. But yeah, I mean, the open mic obviously is everybody. The showcase is kind of rotates between some of us and then some other people from the area who we think are funny. And then... the shows are usually mostly us, but we'll throw some other people on, too.
Okay, so it's mostly a casual thing that you do with your friends.
Yeah, it kind of came just because, like, with the the comedy club kind of going by the wayside, we kind of realized we're going to have to make our own shows and not just wait for time at the club since that was gone. So we kind of just started working together.
Yeah. So do you guys, the question we have is, how do you guys support budding comedians? So do you have new guys come in or?
Yeah, well, the open mic is, you know, that's the place for budding comedians to start. And when we see people starting to show up and they're funny, we want to get them on our other shows. And so we'll ask them to kind of come over to the Friday Night Showcase sometimes and then kind of go from there. But yeah, we're always trying to see new people and encourage them.
All right. Well, before we move on, we do have a caller from South Portland. His name is Big Time Harold.
From
Big
South Portland.
Big Time Harold, are you here?
Yes, Big Time here.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm not unwell, and yourself, thank you.
Thank you, yes. Now, do you have a comment or question for our show? Any funny jokes?
Yeah, just a little ditty there. Got a call from my brother. He's kind of follically challenged. A little thin on top. He wanted me to go with him to the salon to get a new toupee. Well, he didn't have a lot of money, and we looked over things, and he found one he liked very much, and it becomes him. But it's made out of cat fur. Now, he bought it, looks great, but we have a problem. Every time somebody touches his head, his butt goes up in the air.
What? That's pretty funny.
And that's it, I'm telling you. And the other half, well, nothing personal. I don't want her to hear this, but she cannot cook. I'm telling you. I came home early the other day. I found the kids on the phone to DHS begging to go into foster care. Awful, those poor kids. They just want a meal.
Well, thank
I see
you.
A sign now. I drive along. Home cooking, I keep going.
Thank you, Big Time Harold.
Thanks,
that was
Big Time.
Okay.
It was funny.
Here's a couple of ditties
funny.
For you. You guys enjoy yourselves and keep up the good work.
Thank you. We will.
Have a nice
bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye. What do you think about that joke? I thought it was pretty funny.
It was pretty good. I wonder where pretty I heard good. It. That was a good one.
I think
good
Big one. Time Harold came up with it himself.
I think so. He seemed pretty creative. Now, back to Will. So,
what is yeah. your, do you guys have a warm-up routine before your show? Do you kind of get your mojo going, or?
No, not particularly. I'll try and listen to some Black Keys on the way, but other than that, just kind of work up your set list and then do it when you get there.
That's now, how do you write your material? Do you think of it as you go? Do you brainstorm? Or what's your inspiration?
Most of my stuff is pretty personal, like experiences and stories, really longer kind of tales that I've encountered. And a lot of stuff comes from, I work at a school, actually, a little bit outside of Portland. And so I have a lot of stories from all the kids that I encounter there that are pretty crazy.
Do you have one that you could share with us right now?
They're all so very inappropriate. I'm sure you guys have rules about what you can say.
We can't say certain things, but I don't know. If you feel like...
Trying to censor it?
Yeah, or if it's a little too much, just... I don't know.
We had this kid, and he was new. We're a different school. We take kids from all over who are having a hard time, kind of behaviorally. They come to us for a little while. We try and send them back. He showed up, and he said the worst thing that you could ever say to anybody, and I'll edit this, don't worry, but he told his bus driver that he was going to F her in the A with a C.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now, those are all letters. Are we good? Is that okay that I use all letters?
I hope that's fine.
The FCC is not calling in yet.
No, okay.
Yeah, we don't know what those words are.
Well, I think we can guess what the F and the A stand for, right? I mean, we won't say them out loud, but I think we can
guess. I think we can guess, maybe, possibly, but we'll go on.
Any guesses on what the C stand for?
Maybe cat? Is it a cat?
You nailed it.
Awesome. Okay,
no
I got
forgets it.
It.
Cat is what it was.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Yeah. So those kind of stories, terribly inappropriate things that these little guys say, and I kind of spin yarns.
Oh my goodness.
If you will.
My goodness. Yeah. It was cat and those mittens and those.
Little,
I don't know. That's a nursery rhyme, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have the joke box.
A joke
I
box.
Do.
I do.
Oh, do you want me to read one of these?
Well. We have Trevor from South First. Portland on the line
right.
who might have a joke
cool.
for us.
Trevor, are you there? Do, 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 do. I don't think he's
Was
there.
Was it a ding-dong ditch, Trevor?
Oh, Trevor, that's pretty funny. I don't know, but Will has a joke for us from our comedy box that
yes,
we have.
This is not my own material. This is
yes.
from the
don't
comedy
take all the
box.
Credit for it.
I won't. Okay. Why are ghosts bad liars?
I don't know why.
You can. I know what it is. I know what it is.
Oh, wait. Can I guess it? Can I guess it?
Yeah, sure.
You can. Okay. You can see right through them.
That is correct.
That's what I was going to say.
See nice right job. Through them.
Awesome. Great.
Trevor,
well, nothing about a little humor. I don't know, to lighten the mood.
Want to read another one?
Let's go ahead. Let's pass it around.
We had this in our lobby. We were having our people that showed up at our open house write down their favorite jokes.
And I wonder, I think we have names on them too, so.
Okay, this is from Ava. What do you call a snail on a ship?
What do you call a snail on the ship? Okay, so we have Trevor again, but let's finish this. Okay.
You call them a snailer. Hi-ho.
Ha 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 ha.
That ship song that I was singing.
I got Trevor it. I got it. I understand. Hi, Trevor. Are you there?
Trevor.
I think Trevor's here. Trevor, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, Trevor.
Hi, Trevor.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. You were playing Ding Dong Dish, were you?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Now, do you have a joke or a comment for us?
I do. I have a joke.
All right, let's
awesome.
Hear it.
What do you do if your baby poops his pants?
What do you do?
Oh, boy. I don't
change
know.
The diaper. Wait, what was that? What was the punchline? I missed it.
The first line is, what do you do if your baby poops his pants?
Right.
Right, and what's the punchline?
And the second line is, it depends. Depends.
Oh, I think I get it.
It's a diaper brand.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Oh, okay. I'm not a mother, so I wouldn't know. But okay, so again, we have an anonymous caller and...
Joke on line two.
Yes, joke on line two. Let's hear it.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, knock knock.
Who's there?
Cows go.
Who?
Cows go. No, cows go moo.
Cows go moo. Well, that's great. Thank
they
you.
Do.
Thank you, anonymous caller.
Delivery, but pretty good.
Cows
awesome.
Go moo.
Cows go moo.
Bye-bye.
All right. Now, before we move on, I'd like to ask Will one another question. Now, you were talking about his delivery. What... It's an important in a joke, and how do you make it funny for everybody?
I would say the biggest thing is, and everyone's delivery is a little bit different, and you have to kind of figure that out on your own, but I would say, ultimately, people have to understand where you're going if you want to get them to the punchline.
Okay, now
that's the biggest thing.
All right.
Cool. Okay, we have a feature that Iris Sangiovanni made for us. It's Little Children Telling Jokes, and we're going to hear it right now.
What's the funniest way to hold a bat? It's wings. What do you get when you add warm to bat? A wombat.
Why did the pickle cross the road?
Why?
To get to the other cow.
A man was caught for speeding on the highway, and he was brought before the judge. You have a choice of $300 or 3 days in jail, the judge says. The man quickly replies, I'll take the cash.
I'm a chicken. Bawk, 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 bawk.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
Why?
To get to the moon.
Caillou.
My name is Saba.
My name is Connor.
Amis.
Clara.
And we want to remind everyone that this is a call-in show. The number is 780-4909. That's 780-4909. So call in and tell us anything you want.
Right, and this is our open house, so also check our new website with all the information that might possibly want to hear. And also, if you couldn't make it tonight, We have a meeting, planning meeting, on May 21st, so come check it out, see what Blunt's all about.
Yep, next Tuesday. Just about that piece, those kids were in here earlier this evening, and it doesn't get much better than having little kids in a room telling their own jokes.
And this is Ira San Giovanni.
Oh, yeah, this is Ira San Giovanni. Yeah. But right now, for those of you that did attend the open house, there is a raffle. So without further ado, I'm going to be pulling a name out of this box.
For the T-shirt.
All right. Make sure it's mixed up well. All right. Let's see if I can read this.
We're having some trouble.
Let's take a look. All right.
Technical difficulty.
Claire Kenny.
Oh.
But she is a current Blunt member, so.
So.
She can't have it.
I'm sorry, Claire,
she
but.
She already has a shirt.
You can't
so,
have this T-shirt.
Okay, we're gonna. Okay, Joanna. So, Joanna, you get a T-shirt.
Joanna Quinn.
That's JoJo Quinn.
Now. Okay, well,
all
she's
right.
a Blunt member as well, so let's keep drawing those names.
No, she's not.
She's not. So, Joanna
can, you won the T-shirt.
You won the T-shirt. Come pick up later in the front office.
Okay, and now for the coffee.
Before we hear about the coffee mug, we're going to listen
We do have another caller.
So. Eric from Portland.
Eric.
Hello.
Well...
I don't think Eric's here. No, so
Eric's not here.
All right. Well, let's.
Hello.
Oh,
Eric
here.
Is here.
There's Eric.
Hi, Eric.
Eric, do you have a question or a comment or a joke for us?
Hello.
Nope. I'm sorry.
Hi. How's it going?
Hey.
We're going great.
We're going great. Yes.
Do you
have a joke for us?
Yes.
All right. Let's hear it.
All right, the joke is, how come a witch does not fly angry?
Why not?
Because they're worried she might fly off the handle.
Oh, boy.
Oh, those witches and those
and
handles.
And lose her marbles.
Yes, definitely.
Okay,
right, now,
but now for the coffee tumbler,
thank you,
because this is really what everyone's been waiting for. So we have Peter Campbell.
Peter Campbell, so you are the winner of the...
coffee tumbler, so go and get that prize. All right, now for the messenger bag. It has the WMPG logo. It's very swagalicious. I made that up.
I think we should have a drum roll for this last... There we go, that's perfect.
We have Aiden.
Oh, I know that
Aiden.
Kid.
Aiden.
Woo!
Aiden, you know you won the messenger bag. Good job.
You must be a cool guy.
Good job, Aiden.
Congratulations.
Be even cooler with that new messenger bag.
Swagalicious.
Swagalicious. Messenger bags. All right, so... Wow, so that was a raffle.
I have a joke for you guys.
And Iris has a joke for
us.
This is Iris's famous joke.
So,
this is my go-to joke, and... I mean, I can't take full credit for it, but... it is one of my favorites. Okay, here it goes. What did Sushi A say to Sushi B?
What did it say, Iris?
I don't know.
Wasabi. Like, wasabi.
Oh, like wasabi. Like, you know.
But like
the,
what's up, B?
The green
like,
stuff.
But like the food.
Yeah, no.
That's pretty funny. I like that.
That's your go-to.
Yeah.
Nice.
Delivery varies. This is on the poorer side, but yeah.
Do you have a go-to joke, Will?
As far as like a street joke like that? No, not really.
Not really?
Okay. I don't.
Maybe you can get a new one from the
box. Yeah, give me a
the box?
The box is right here. All right, Will.
Will's
here.
It's pretty hard to get to that level of hilarity. And just like,
yeah, after
you know,
wasabi, I don't want to.
I mean,
I don't know.
It's something I've been
that?
Striving
really
for
know.
For a while. Like, yeah.
This one says, people in glass houses shouldn't cook meth. That's what this says. Is that a joke?
Is that a joke?
I don't think anyone should
It's
cook
a statement.
Meth. It's a statement.
It's a statement.
Kind of funny, but yeah, you're right. I think everyone should avoid.
Can you elaborate on that? Do you have any improv?
Any improv?
I've When should you cook meth? Probably not ever.
I'm going to go ahead and say never, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably a good...
Unless it's fake and on a TV show.
Definitely, like Breaking Bad. That's a good show. All right, well, I have a few jokes that I asked a few friends, and I think they're pretty hilarious. So, all right. So this is one from, I think it's from Mackenzie Mays. All right. Now, what concert costs 45 cents?
What kind of concert, Trenton?
50 Cent featuring Nickelback.
That's good. That's a good one.
I think we should get back to Will.
We should. Yes.
All right. Now, where did we leave off? We left off, we were talking about the Portland Comedy Co-op, which you and a few of your friends, it's a casual, if you want, I don't know, elaborate some more.
Specifically, it's myself, Jordan Handren CV, Joe Timmons, James Pazuko, Aaron Hebert, and Travis Curran. Just a bunch of guys from the kind of local open mic scene, kind of came together, started making our own shows. We actually have one coming up. Our next, like, booked kind of serious show is May 31st. It's up in Bangor. That's our next thing coming up, and we're working on one in Biddeford in the next couple months, too. So.
All right, awesome. So something things to look forward
Biddeford.
To.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I know.
We have a caller.
We do have a caller. So Adam from Portland. Are you there, Adam?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. I would like to tell a joke.
All right, let's hear it.
We would like to hear it.
What?
Let's hear it.
Say the joke.
Okay. I hate jokes that rely on visual imagery. I've had it right up to here with them.
I'm picturing him, you know, putting his arm up to his chest like...
You can't
right
see
here,
it.
Because you can't really see
it's
it. It's
so. The radio.
Yep.
No visual radio does not have television.
So many levels to that joke.
Now...
Thank you.
Thank you, Adam. That was very fantastic. Oh, get it out. All right, well... I don't know, we're going to have to wrap up pretty soon, but we do have an SNL skit.
This is one of my personal favorites. It's Kristen Wiig.
Kristen Wiig.
As Target Lady, featuring Justin Timberlake.
Welcome to Target. Let's see. Your gloves, tomato seeds, fertilizer. Hey, Pat Sajak, I'll solve the puzzle. Gardening! It's going to be 42-11.
Here you go.
And it's legit! I get to put this under the tray!
I'm sorry, I'm in a hurry.
Hey, you know what fertilizer is, right?
Excuse me?
It's part dirt and part feces. It's my job to let you know what you're buying. I just thought you should know you're buying a big bag of feces.
Thanks.
Someone left a bag of feces on my doorstep once. It was Halloween and they rang the bell, but when I got there, they were gone. But they left their feces bag. They must have forgotten it. I put it in my garden, but it didn't help any of my plants. I think because it came from a person. I'm sure this will work because this manure came from a chicken. Well, I haven't seen anything move that fast since I went to an illegal mouse race. It was a weird, weird night.
Did somebody say weird?
Pig!
Hi, girlfriend.
Hey.
So, I strained my neck.
How'd you do that, girlfriend?
I was pushing a washing machine up a hill when my fashion sandal got caught on a decorative yard brick. Is that not just classic pig? So then I tripped and tried to brace myself on the washer lid, but I ended up breaking it off and falling inside. I rolled all the way back down the hill inside of it. I mean, I was holding on to the cup that holds.
Well, there you have it, guys. That's
Kristen Wiig. And Justin Timberlake at
SNL.
Their finest.
Yes.
So, Will, where do you get some of your inspiration? Like, do you go to, you know, SNL? Like, what are...
My biggest inspirations are the kids that I worked with.
Cool.
At the school that I work at currently. That's probably where most of my stuff comes from, but also just, you know, little everyday things. I think Tim was talking about earlier, you just have to write down every little weird thing that could be something, maybe. Write it down, and 9 times out of 10, it's stupid. But that one time.
Well, you never know until you actually try it, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah, so you do stand-up and improv? Or?
No, I don't do improv at
all. You don't do improv at all?
I don't.
The impression that we were under.
No, I'd never improv anything.
Ever.
I write it all down. No. I mean, you know, other than like crowd work while you're doing the actual show now.
Right.
I'm not an improv guy.
I'm just a stand-up guy.
Now, when you're talking to an audience, do you try to, you know, communicate with them, face, like talk to them, or how do you approach, what if you're talking to an audience, you know, they're not really reactive, what do you do?
You gotta just keep doing your stuff.
sometimes you're going to get a crowd that just isn't into it. Sometimes you have a crowd where they're liking it, but for some reason they're not laughers. And so you're not getting that signal that you're actually doing well. But they'll tell you afterwards, oh, my gosh, it was great. And you're like, oh, well, you should make more noise during it. Yeah, you kind of just have to slow down and make sure you're, like I said, getting through your setups correctly and not going too fast and not confusing them. Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
I know you said you work with Kate Geloni a lot. Did I make that up?
Yep.
I know she's kind of big into she picks someone out in the audience. Yeah, she's and, she talks very to them. Do you do that?
Not as much. I'm a little more pre-planned out than she is. She goes right for it though. She's great.
If you ever have a rough crowd, I mean, you should just invite me because, I mean, first of all, I will laugh at anything, and also I have I've been known to have a pretty contagious laugh.
Nice. Those are the best people to have a comedy show.
Will you laugh for us, Iris? There you go.
No, that was weak. You're putting me on the spot.
You shouldn't bring me to a comedy show. I have such high standards for people that are trying to be funny, but if you're just doing something stupid, I will be on the ground crying. But
really
if you write a joke, I'm should have worked it over.
I like the dry humor. I don't know.
I like very awkward comedians that are,
right, that stuff that shouldn't, really be
when
funny.
When they embrace
but...
it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you really gotta
I definitely
commit.
Sell it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah
go ahead.
I'm always wondering how to get more, under 21, under 18 people to be at shows, and obviously doing them at a bar is, the worst way to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know, where would a younger comedy show happen? I've been trying to brainstorm.
That's
I'm
a
just
good
wondering.
Question.
I guess it's, it really depends on the venue.
I don't know. I go to a lot of comedy shows because my dad is friends with all of them, and it's, I really enjoy it. I try to bring my friends.
Right. I guess, a coffee shop, something for the younger generation will be willing to go to. But
no, Mackenzie is saying no drinks.
No drinks. That's right.
Yeah. Have no drinks available. Well, is how to win
illegal beverages for people under age 21.
Right. That would be the help.
Right. Other beverages are available.
Where do we hang out?
I don't know.
Because,
you gotta have, it has to be,
it might be the advertising thing. I never hear about it.
Or something. You
Facebook,
gotta
it's a good medium.
Somewhere, maybe coffee shop.
Yeah.
We do the coffee by design thing.
Coffee by design, that's a great
thing. Yeah, you guys should check that out.
I love that place. All right, well.
Schools, maybe,
promoting
maybe
get to,
schools
students.
To host.
I actually have a show coming up at Breakwater. On Thursday.
That's a
it's
on
like
Thursday.
For the teachers.
Like a quirky bunch.
Yeah,
it's teacher appreciation week.
Yeah. Kind of
All right. Well, I guess it's time. It's 8:30. We have to kind of wrap up. But I want to thank all of our guests, Tim Farrell,
Justin Fortin, Karen Morgan, and Will Green.
Yes,
right
definitely.
Here with us still.
And Iris and all those younger children who, put their hearts out there and told us those funny jokes. And everyone in the comedy box. Sorry if we didn't read yours. Let's actually end with one. How about that?
Okay. Oh, that's terrible. I'll just read the... I'll just pretend that it's not a bad punchline. Why was 6 afraid of 7?
Why?
Because 7, 8, 9.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you for our engineers, Grayson, Isaac Woodbury High.
For everyone that
Jules
attended
Fenord.
The open
everyone,
house.
Thank you for coming.
And Ava Zielinski.
Ava Zielinski, Jules Fenord.
She's the real winner. And Mackenzie.
Whoever's in charge of pizza, can we thank them?
Yeah. Claire bought us the pizza. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Right, thank you, and next
Good
up,
luck.
Jazz.
Thank you.